Hello and welcome to another episode of Corgitown USA. I am Candy, owner and host of the podcast. To my right is Kat.
Hello, I'm Kat. To my right is Digby, my little corgi.
And in my lap is Chuckles, our spokes corg, as always. I think he's taking a little nap. We just had lunch. Then we have Mortimer, Booger, and Hammer, the rest of the Corgi committee in studio. That's so right. As always, we are known to lose equipment. We'll come right back if there's some frapping or some works. We might have a little cut in, you know, it happens. This is a Corgi podcast, Corgi Town, where the Corgis run the town.
That's right.
So we have been talking a little bit this season about what's in a breeder.
Yeah.
Good ones, bad ones, breeding, why it's kind of a science, why we want to leave it to the professionals and et cetera, et cetera.
Yes.
Because we're very passionate about our breed and healthy pups.
Yeah. In general, you know, the breed, of course, the purity, if you will, of the breed, health.
Yeah.
You know,
we're not elitist by any means.
We're not elitist.
We just, the corgis are, they're our favorite here, but
they are.
We love all the doggos, and this kind of the attitude towards breeding is the same with all the breeds, as far as my opinion is.
Right.
And that's the preservation breeders are, I'm a big fan of, because the good ones do genetic testing and they breed for temperament and good health and good conformation. So there are fewer diseases and structural problems and things. And
exactly.
Breeding healthy pups. And those breeders will take dogs back if anything, life circumstances happen.
Right.
So because of those reasons, fewer of those dogs wind up in shelters and in rescue.
Yes.
So we have a real estate professional today that has corgis, or a corgi, and she wants to talk to us a little bit about that and kind of a foray she had into breeding her. Should we bring her on?
Absolutely.
All right. Let's welcome Sorcha Porter. She is a real estate professional, also has her own podcast, which we will share some of that information in the description box as well. But Sorcha, welcome.
Hi, Sorcha. Hi, thanks so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Oh, thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to join us. And we definitely, you know, are appreciative of your voice and what you have to say and your experience. But please tell us about your dogs.
Yeah. So I have three corgis, or I guess what I would call them, kind of knockoff corgis, you know, like the Prada bags you buy out of the back of someone's like car trunk. But, you know, you really love them.
Yes,
that is what my corgis are. I didn't know much about the breed when I got our first one. Okay. And as one does, you get one and then you're like, well, that one needs a friend. and then you get that one a friend and you're like, okay, I have to wait 18 months to fix them. Right. And then you don't ask the question of the vet, you know, when do they go into heat? Mm-hmm. And then in my case, I think it's interesting that you called it a foray into breathing. I feel like it was a train wreck into breathing.
foray is the cleaned up language.
Crash into breeding. And so, you know, we were trying to wait 18 months to let, you know, all the growth plates close, you know, trying to be responsible dog owners. But I didn't know at that point that my female would go into heat like around 1 year. And so at that same time that she went to heat, I broke my back and I was bedridden for several months, and my husband didn't know what a dog in heat looked like. And so we ended up with an oops litter.
Aww. That's just like me. I'm an oops child.
And so we ended up with an oops litter. And at the time, you know, my primary concern was the health of my dog. Mm-hmm. And whether or not, you know, she could have a successful pregnancy. And so I talked a lot about it with my vet and got a lot of education from my vet. I had a great vet who was like very straight with me about like, you know, these are the risks and this is the estimated cost. And do you have this money set aside? Because a lot of people don't realize who like get into breeding. They think, oh, I'll breed my dogs and then I'll have a puppy from them and I'll make money. And it's like, that's not in actuality what happens, which is sort of like the delusion that I had, is I was like, oh, I'll get a puppy from my favorite creatures. And then everybody else will get a all these other people in my life will get a puppy, and it will be a beautiful, beautiful experience. And I was pretty naive about that. Just like full stop naive. Now,
and I'm going to take up for you here, because I feel like that's probably more common than we realize. Yeah. It's not anything to, we're trying to stop that kind of stuff by, you know, talking about it. But I think to your point, a lot of people don't think of it in those terms.
Yeah.
About the dangers.
Yeah.
I mean, thank goodness I had a vet who would tell it to me straight. Like, that's really
amazing.
Amazing. Yeah. It's like, I have a great vet, and she just like looked me dead in the face and was like, are you ready for this? Because I don't know that you are. And she was correct. I was not, but, but I got a lot of education, and I got ready really quickly.
Yeah.
I think also an advantage that I had is like, I grew up breeding horses.
Okay.
So the concept of genetics and breeding animals and doing so in an ethical way was not foreign to me. Mm-hmm. I knew that I needed to get my dogs tested. We did that. I knew that I needed to make sure that the puppies would, that the my dog needed to be checked for her health, that she could carry a litter to term without her being in danger. As much as you can with a birth, there's always danger associated with that.
Well, you're already ahead of a few with that. Yeah.
Yeah. And I needed to figure out if I could find homes for everybody. So, because you just don't know, corgis have really big litters. Yeah. Like really big litters. Like a lot of people are like, oh, maybe they'll have four or five. We had seven.
Wow. That's a big litter.
It's a big litter. And I have small corgis. My corgis are 25. My biggest corgi is 25 pounds.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
They're petite people. They're petite babies.
And they have to be born via C-section, the corgis.
No, they did not. There was a natural birth in this case.
Oh, I thought that okay. So you've taught me something, because I've been under the understanding from breeders that maybe it's that they normally do.
It isn't uncommon for them to need one.
Okay.
So
one
of the things that my vet told me was like, C-section is $8,000. And I was like, okay, cool. And she's like, do you have $8,000? And I did. Like we are fortunately in a position where we could afford that. Okay. And she was like, you might lose her. Are you like, and I don't think that fully registered to me. And I'll tell you more about what I saw after she had the puppies that made me like realize that this was very, very hard on my dog's body. Yeah. But anyways, so we did the genetic testing, got tested for DM and skeletal things and like all of the various many health conditions that corgis can pass on to one another. And everybody was clear. Like no one was going to develop a disease. Now my female had one copy of the DM gene. So she won't
carrier only. Yeah.
She's carrier only. So she won't get it. But my male actually had better genetics than my female. And he was totally clear of everything, which is interesting because I remember that breeder. And at the time I didn't think a lot of it, had told me that her dogs were tested, but it didn't register to me. I was just like, he's so cute, I'm taking him.
Well, and it's interesting to me, did your breeder not have a no breed contract?
No, they didn't. There's no contract.
Okay, that's interesting to me, because that's one of the kind of the, not that I'm throwing yours under the bus, but that is one of the things that we recommend, is that you get one that you have an agreement not to breed.
Yeah. And so that was actually something that I set up for the people who adopted my puppies.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It's like, after I got everyone tested, I was like, okay, now what's the next step? And I like went to all the corgi pages and I read things and I asked other breeders and I connected with breeders of other dogs in my area, because there weren't any corgi breeders near me, and was like, okay, tell me what I need to do. Like, what do I need to do to make sure that I do this as best as I can now that we're in this situation? And because the other option was to terminate the litter, and you can terminate a litter in utero. That is the thing you can do. And they do it for the health of the mother. And there's not risks there either. There's risks there to the dog too. And so I, you know, asked my vet, and I was like, you know, what do you suggest? She's like, since you guys can afford the care and you're prepared to pay for it if you need to, and you believe you can get everybody homes, because like the minute our friends found out we were having puppies, like everybody had a home. I don't care how many puppies we were going to have, everybody had a home. Aww. Like Aww. we our dogs were beloved by our friend group. So everybody was really excited about that. So that wasn't a thing I really had to worry about. I actually had like a waiting list for the puppies.
Oh, wow.
And backed out. But I actually, but I went online and I looked into that. I like did a poll on social media of my friend group and my sphere. And I was like, hey, we're having puppies. This is when we're having them. Who's interested in a corgi puppy? And like disclose, like they're not like fully purebred, like this is their genetic profile and all of that. And everybody had a home. And I did the math on how much it would cost to get everybody their initial checkups and their shots and if Arwen needed an C-section, and went through all of that process. It was so much more than I thought it would be, guys. It was like just so much more money. I don't know how breeders are making any money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It makes you really appreciate like when people are like, oh my God, a $4,000 puppy. I'm like, no, that's just what it costs.
Right.
Like, yeah. Barely breaking even.
Yeah.
Like, most breeders I found out are just doing it for love of the breed and enjoyment of like the dog. And most of them are not profitable unless they're like show champions.
Right.
Right. Okay.
Yep.
So I was like, we didn't make any money off of this. So if you're out there and you think you're going to breed your dogs and have a beautiful litter of puppies and make a bunch of money, like just think again, that's not happening.
Nope.
Yeah.
Like you're not, it's just, it's not possible with the cost if you're doing it ethically with the cost of that care.
Right.
And so all said and done, the birth went beautifully. She delivered all puppies safely. Everyone was in good health.
Yay.
Yeah. We had no problems with that, and Arwen handled it great. That's my female. They all have Lord of the Rings names.
I love it.
So Arwen, Gimli, and Pippin.
Oh,
Pippin is the puppy we kept. But yeah, so everything went really well with that. But what was actually the part that was the hardest was after they were born. Nobody told me that it's like actually having seven babies.
Yeah,
and you are up all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I had to like set up, I like was spending most of my time in the welfare room, which was our back bathroom. Mm-hmm. And like we had like a kiddie pool as a whelping box because I couldn't find anywhere online to get a whelping box because of COVID. I just couldn't get one shipped to me.
Okay. Yeah.
So one of the things that is a risk when you don't have a whelping box is that mama can roll over and crush a baby unexpectedly. Right. And so I like set up cameras at different angles in the whelping room and just was like watching them on my phone all of the time.
Ooh.
Because I was just so stressed she was going to squish one of them in the first couple weeks, because that's when they're in like the most danger of that.
Oh,
and we made it through that, and I slept in my bathroom several nights, and it was like
how's that for your healing broken back there?
Exactly. Right.
Super bad. I was at the point there where I was like relatively stable and I could like sit in a chair and like lay down and stuff. It was just when they got pregnant that I was better. So yeah, that all happened. And then there's like raising a bunch of puppies. Like if anyone who's listening has ever had a puppy, they are a lot of work. Mm-hmm. And when you multiply that by seven, it's a lot more work.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, you've done puppies. I don't think I've ever done any sort of puppies. Kitten is the closest I've ever come.
Cats corgi was my foster.
Yeah.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah.
We had seven puppies, and like things that I didn't expect that happened is the floors in my bathroom were destroyed.
I imagine.
Seven puppies and multiple poopies and pee-pees a day.
Yeah.
On wood floors means that your wood floors are ruined.
Oh no.
And like the biggest thing that was hard to see though was how hard it was on Arwen's body. Oh. Is pregnancy is hard on like any body.
Yeah. But,
like, the thing that you have to do that a lot of people don't realize is like they don't have much room in their stomachs when they're pregnant. So all the fat that you see on like a fat mama pregnant corg is not actually fat, it's puppies. And a lot of times after the puppies are born, they just like look like skin and bones. And that's what she looked like. So we had to work really, really hard because she was exhausted to keep her weight up. So I would literally sit next to her whelping box and hand feed her handfuls of cottage cheese and high protein puppy kibble.
Yeah. Well, and they lose a lot of nutrients through feeding the litter.
Right. Yeah. I know with humans, women lose a lot of the baby fat,
calcium, and
from calcium and everything, and the baby fat when they nurse.
Yeah.
And that, and there is no such thing as little puppy formula. I mean, there is, but you don't do that.
Yeah, it's I was very fortunate that she had no problems nursing, which is a thing that can happen to corgis, especially smaller dogs.
Yeah.
Because like there wasn't a, I realized like a week before they were born, I was like, I don't have feeding tubes or anything for these puppies. So I had to like ship them on Amazon and get formula and like research videos on how to tube feed a puppy. No one needed it, thank God.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yay. But like, but it was very hard on my dog. And what I saw that afterwards I like really regretted was that like she was very stressed because she's, you know, taking care of all these puppies. And every sound from a garbage truck driving by, I live in Portland, Oregon. It's a big city. We're like in an urban area. So every crap from the garbage truck, every dog barking outside would just send her into anxiety because she's trying to protect these puppies. And so we had to do a lot of work around like getting like pheromone diffusers. There's classical music playing in the whelping room all the time. It was just like, and I had to sit with her like 24/7. So I just don't know how anyone could do this successfully if they were working any sort of full-time job, because at the time I was not, because of my back. I'd taken the time off, so I was able to be with her, but it's just, it was just a million times more work. Now, I will say this, there is almost nothing better in the world than walking downstairs and seeing a literal herd of corgi puppies come running towards you.
Oh, my heart.
the cutest thing I've ever seen in my life. It is super rewarding to like get photos of them from their family. Yeah. We have a litter Facebook page that I made because like all the families wanted photo updates, and I was like getting real tired of texting 7 different families. So I was like, I'm making a Facebook page. I will update it daily. And so that Facebook page remains, and I get updates from their families of them going to like the corgi meetup in Seaside, Oregon.
Okay.
Every year, or like some of them will get together for play dates.
Birthday party,
yes.
Yeah, we didn't get to do a birthday party last year because I was out of town for their birthday.
Oh.
But we did do, we're on year 2. So we did first year update, and everybody sent in a little video and talked about like their favorite memory of the year with their puppy and like what they've turned into before, and the day they got the puppy picture and the day of their birthday picture. So it was really, it's been really, really sweet. But honestly, guys, if I could, anyone's listening out there who's thinking they might want to breed their dogs, don't. I would not recommend it unless you plan to be a career breeder.
Yeah.
Right.
It's just, it was super rewarding. I'm glad we had the experience, but if I could go back and tell past Sorsha anything, it would be don't do it. I would have terminated the litter because it was so hard on Arwen's body. Now she is fine. She is healthy.
Thank goodness.
She is doing, I don't know if I can. That's her.
Aww. If you're listening, just please go to our YouTube page so you can see a little picture of Arwen. Oh my goodness.
She's splooting next to me. She hangs out with me at the desk. You'll also get to see a picture of my very messy dining room table, but
That's life.
But yeah, so she's great. And we got to keep one of the puppies, Pippin, who is absolutely the best parts of both her parents. She's super, super sweet. She's actually, all of our corgis are crate trained. And when they get bored of me, they go lay in their crates.
Independence.
So, and they're off.
That's where she is right now. But, you know, it was a really rewarding experience, but I really don't think, A, if you're thinking there's money in it, there's not.
Right.
And B, like, it's really stressful. Now, one thing that was really sad was one of the families, their puppy died on accident. He got into some poison, some rat poison, and he died.
My first corgi that happened, luckily I got him help really quickly. And he ended up living for 15 years. Thank God. But my heart goes out to them.
He was so little, and like it, that was awful. That was probably the worst, one of the worst things I've ever experienced. Because you spend, we actually spent more time with him than his own, than his new family did. Yeah. And they just didn't know they had a corgi. Almost every single family that adopted our corgis had had a corgi before or had one at
that's
the time.
Oh, good. Yeah.
That's good. Yeah.
That's how
great experience. Yeah.
I had like 20 or 30 applicants because wow. like I had an application. And so I selected families based on, you know, the factors I thought would make them the most successful corgi parents.
Yep.
Because this is not a breed for the faint of heart.
No.
They are the best breed in the world, but like they're, a lot of people have this perception that they're like these chill little lap dogs, and they are they're basically Energizer bunnies with that are shaped like hot dogs. Like they're just super-
this is why we have this podcast for when I had my first corgi and people didn't know what they were, they would say, what kind of dog is that? Now we have what we call the paparazzi. And so all of the kind of fanfare and how they've exploded in popularity, which we're okay with because we love them, but the problems come along with that. And part of that is what you're talking about. And that's what we try to tell people. Like, we think they're wonderful.
Yeah.
We will arrange meetups so you can come and pet them and love on them. But if you don't think they're ready, they are not a background dog. It is a toddler that is a toddler their entire life.
Yes. Yeah, they're all my corgis are super Velcro dogs.
Mm-hmm.
They want to, before I turned my camera on, I was sitting in my armchair and literally all three of them were on me. They're just like on top of me. And that's what they do. They love their people and they want to be with them. One, my husband works from home full time and I work for myself. So unless I'm like showing clients, I'm pretty much here most of the time.
Right.
Oh, okay. So like we're able to do it, but like, I don't know how anyone who like worked outside the home or like, you know, worked a full-time job could possibly whelp a litter.
Yeah.
I just don't think that's possible.
No, I don't think it was at all.
It was not like we broke even financially. And, you know, 6 out of 7 of them are living happy, healthy lives, which is honestly not really the story. I learned that's not really the story with everyone. I have a friend who is a professional breeder who I connected with during this process, and she just lost the mother and 14 puppies.
Oh, goodness.
And it's like, that is the reality.
It is. And that's why we say, you know, there's a lot of, that's another, and thank you so much for sharing your story for starters.
Yeah.
And thank you also for being so mindful and doing things as thoroughly and as carefully as you possibly can.
Yes.
And we can't thank you enough for that. And that's why we're here not to judge, but to try to get the word out. Because again, a lot of times when that happens is people don't realize that they're being flippant. They don't realize that it's more, oh, this would be cute. They don't think about what all goes into it, to your point.
You don't know what you don't know.
Yeah.
And
we love our good breeders for that reason.
Yes.
A good breeder is worth every penny, and a well-bred puppy is worth every penny. And I wouldn't say that my puppies are not like well-bred for conformation or breed type, but I know that they are healthy. They're not going to develop congenital problems. And I had every single person that took a puppy sign a spay neuter contract. I also did a rehoming contract. So I'll take anybody back that needs to, and I keep in touch with everybody.
But you're done, huh? You're not going to do it again.
But I'm never doing it again. No, never again. And it was a magical experience that I wouldn't wish on anybody else.
That's a good way to put it. I laugh not at your pain, but makes sense.
Yeah,
it is. You have to laugh at the things that are stressful, and it was awesome. Like it really was, but I just can't recommend it to anyone. And I just think that breeding should be left to the professionals now that I've experienced this. And that is like the message. I was excited when you asked me to come on the podcast, because I was like, yeah, I'll tell people how it really was, because it wasn't what I expected. And if I can save anyone else the $12,000 in costs and the 2 full months of basically, you know, 2 to 3 hours of sleep broken up by 2 to 3 hours of not sleep every night, I will.
Oh my gosh. Yes. Thank you. And you are correct. And that is a great way to wrap it up. And I agree that, if you're listening or viewing and you love your dog, you would love to have some puppies, please take all these points into consideration. There's a reason, there's a lot of fervor between adopt, don't shop. And we are 100% behind adoption. I have a bunch of rescue corgis here, but we believe that if you want one from a puppy, then we love our good breeders because they're the ones that are preserving the breed and keeping them healthy and keeping them good breeding stock going forward so that we can have healthy companion animals for long periods of time.
Right.
So, yeah. And Sorcha, thank you so much. We will wrap it up. We don't want to keep you all night, but please tell us very quickly how we can connect with you. If you are a corgi person on, you're in the Portland area, Sorcha is actually a real estate professional, and we like to deal with our own kind because they understand our crazy. Yes. And we would love for you to tell them where to find you and also about your podcast that's related. So please tell us briefly, and I will share those in the description box as well, those links.
Yeah. So you can find me at Sorcha, Sorcha, Homes, Homes.com. You can also find me at Living Room Realty. That's my brokerage. And my podcast is The Laddercast on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. I specialize in teaching people how to purchase homes that will make them money. So short-term rentals, mid-term rentals, I teach you how to set them up, or people who want to like turn their backyard into private dog parks. That's a thing I've done before. For those of you corgi people,
can
get on Sniff Spot and make some extra dough and have, playmates rotating through your backyard for your corgis. So yeah.
We need to make it up to Cannon Corgi Beach Day.
Yeah.
Need some people. We had the poor corgi actor, Bentley Farah, and so Bentley is in the detective show. Why is it?
Dirk Bentley.
Dirk Gently's. Yeah, we had them on the show, and they were able to make it up to Cannon Corgi Beach Day, and they really had a good time. And so we need to make it a point to try to make it out there one of these days.
Absolutely,
it's pretty cool. I haven't gotten to go since pre-COVID, but most of the puppy parents go and they all meet up at Cannon Beach Day together.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
A photo of all my babies.
We'll have to do that, and we'll reach out to you, and maybe we'll get one of those sniff spots and then do a little meetup for Corgitown USA and meet some of our friends in the area. We're close to SoCal, so we do we usually have a booth actually at the Corgi Beach Day events and Corgi Nationals. Yep. But we want to branch out and go to some of the other regional ones as well.
Go up north.
Yeah, for sure.
There's a lot of corgi lovers in the Pacific Northwest.
Yes. Yeah. Well, thank you so much. And we will let you get back to your busy schedule. And again, we can't thank you enough for what you did and doing things the right way. And we're glad that you're healed and walking and not in bed with a broken back anymore.
Yeah.
But yes, we will share those links in the description box if you want to connect with Sorcha, if you're in the area. And thank you again. We really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Have a great day.
You too.
Bye.
Bye.
I'm so touched that she, that is the perfect way to move forward with, we have an oops, let's go and do our genetic testing. Let's go and connect with people who do this professionally. I mean, what a beautiful end to the story.
Let's do this right.
Yeah.
And let's not, just decide that, what the hell.
Well, and this is how good work gets done. This is how we advocate for these animals is we're not here to judge you. We are not here to judge anyone who does have a backyard. That's not why we're here. We want you to have the information. This is why it's not recommended. One, preservation breeders breed for these good, healthy stock. You may not be so lucky as Sorcha just described. You can lose your mom in the litter. You can have complications with the pregnancy. They can come out with genetic maladies. There's just so many things as to why breeding is a professional thing, and it should be.
Right. And sometimes people don't think they're wild animals, quote unquote. That, you know, that it should be natural for that. No,
it's not natural. No. This many generations back, what we've done with dogs.
Yeah, no, it's not.
They're not wild. They're domesticated. That's why we need to advocate for them and care for them.
It doesn't come naturally.
Yeah.
Every step of it, as Sorcha said, every step of it has got to be looked at and examined. And are we ready to do the C-section? Are we ready to potentially terminate? Are we ready to do this? Are we ready to do that? There's so much to look at.
Yeah, definitely.
So I'm glad that it worked out for her. I'm glad that
with a lot of careful maneuvering.
Careful maneuvering. I'm glad she didn't say something like, oh, well, here's where we can take shortcuts. And no, this is best left to the professionals. So
yeah. And this is the best story I've heard with an accidental litter. This is somebody who really stepped forward and said, we're going to do this the right way. And mm-hmm. I love that the puppies are connected and everybody's talking, and
that's cool.
Beautiful thing. So, we hope this helped you. If you know anyone who is thinking about having a litter and haven't before, or you yourself are thinking about it, we hope that you take all this into consideration and reconsider.
Yes.
But thank you so much. As always, we're here every week for you. All things Corgi, Candy Cat, Chuckles, Mortimer, Digby, Booger and Hammer.
All of them.
See you next week.
See you next week. Bye.